Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air with the mission to equip you in life and truth because life and truth matter. In our post-truth culture of confusion, the need for Christians to be equipped with truth has never been greater. Truth equips you to live life authentically in Christ, enabling you to strive with all His energy that He so powerfully works within you. To join us on air with your question, dial 888-ASK-HANK, which translates to 888-275-4265. For more information, go online to equip.org. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Our contact information on the web, equip.org. And via the mail, it's Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. We'll go right to the phone lines. I do have something to share a little later on in the broadcast, but let me go to Craig in Washington, listening on the web. Hi, Craig.
Hey, how are you, Hank? Good to hear your voice.
It's nice to talk to you.
Got a question regarding some friends that are in higher education, we'll say a four-year college, and one of the religion classes that they're in is bringing up an argument that I've heard occasionally before phrased differently, but really questioning God, His sovereignty, His power. Basically, okay, if God's so powerful, can He build a mountain so large that He cannot move it? And I think there's a type of argument or a name for that or something, but our friends are really working on that and saying, you know, there's some real issues here with, you know, God being all-powerful and all-knowing if He allows this stuff to happen or, as they were saying, can't do something.
Yeah.
How do you deal with that?
Yeah, there is a name for that. This is a classic straw man argument. And of course, oftentimes has Christians, as you're alluding to, looking like the proverbial deer in the headlights. Because on the one hand, it challenges God's omnipotence. On the other, it undermines His existence. And that's the whole point of raising this canard to begin with. But the first thing you have to do is recognize that there's a problem with the premise of the question. It is true that God can do anything that is consistent with His nature, but it is absurd to suggest that He can do everything. For example, God cannot lie. God cannot be tempted. God cannot cease to exist. So it is impossible for Him to do that which is logically impossible. For example, He can't make a one-sided triangle, because triangles, by definition, are not one-sided. So it is impossible, in the same sense, to make a mountain that is too big to move. Anything that an all-powerful God can create, He obviously can move. God can do anything that is logically possible. So there are a lot of similar questions. It's usually posited as the question, can God create a rock too heavy that He cannot move it? But the mountain is also a very common one that's brought up as a canard. And again, that's why we have to be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within us, with gentleness and with respect.
Well, thank you. You've made something that thrilled me, understandable, and easy to listen to. Love your magazines and your shows. And just God be with you. Love you, brother.
Well, thank you. Love you too, Greg, Craig, and thank you so much for calling in. We're going to go back to the phone calls in just a few moments, but I wanted to read something that I've actually had in my possession for a little while. It is a letter by Jamie Shoup, who was the first American non-binary person. But as Shoup now says, it was all a sham. So he wrote about this originally in the New York Times. He said that he had effectively traded in his white male privilege to become one of America's most hated minorities. And what he did was he visited a licensed nurse practitioner who phoned in a prescription for oral estrogen and spironolactone, I think it was. And then he started the process of becoming a female. He'd learned how to become a female from an online medical document at a Department of Veterans Affairs Hospital website. All I needed to do, says Shoup, was to switch over my hormone operating fuel and get my penis turned into a vagina. Then I'd be the same as any other woman. That's the fantasy the transgender community sold me. It's the lie I bought into. It's the lie that I believed. Shoup goes on to say that he believed wearing a long wig, dresses, heels, makeup would make him a woman. In the medical community, he was allowed to hide in women's bathrooms with people's wives and daughters. This was all considered copacetic by the medical community. Your gender identity as female is what the alleged professionals in the medical community told him. 3 years into my gender change from male to female, I looked hard into the mirror one day, says Shoup, and when I did, the facade of femininity and womanhood crumbled. Despite having taken on or being injected with every hormone concoction in the VA's medical arsenal, I didn't look anything like a female. And people on the street agreed. Their harsh stares reflected the reality behind my fraudulent existence as a woman. When the fantasy of being a woman came to an end, two of my doctors allowed me to become non-binary instead of female. After pumping me full of hormones, the equivalent of 20 birth control pills per day, they each wrote a sex change letter. One was from the VA, the other from the Oregon Health and Science University. An Oregon judge declared his sex to be non-binary, neither male nor female. And he became the first legally recognized non-binary person in the country. The landmark court decision catapulted Shoup to instant fame within the LGBT community. Journalists clung to his every word. Becoming a woman, writes Shoup, had gotten me into the New York Times. Convincing a judge that my sex was non-binary got my photo and my story into publications around the world. Within months, I scored another historic win after the Department of Vital Records issued me a brand new birth certificate from Washington, D.C. It was the first time in D.C. history a birth certificate had been printed with a sex marker other than male or female. It wasn't until I came out against the sterilization and mutilization of gender-confused children that the LGBT organization stopped helping me. Most of the media retreated with them. Overnight, I went from being a liberal media darling to a conservative pariah. They stopped acknowledging that I was behind the non-binary option that now exists in 11 states. But the truth is that my sex change to non-binary was a medical and a scientific fraud. At every step, doctors, judges, advocacy groups indulged the fiction. The carnage that came from my court victory is just as precedent-setting as the decision itself. The judge's order led to millions of taxpayer dollars being sent to put an X marker on driver's licenses in 11 states so far. You can now become male, female, or non-binary in all of the states. A sensible magistrate would have politely told me no and refused to sign such an outlandish legal request. Gender is just a concept. It's biological sex that defines all of us, that person would have said. In January 2019, unable to advance the fraud for another single day, I reclaim my male birth sex. The weight of the lie on my conscience was heavier than the value of the fame I'd gained from participating in this elaborate swindle. One of the many people who have recognized, much to their chagrin, that this whole transgender phenomenon is a fraud, and it hurts all kinds of people. Many more examples could be given, but I rest my case for now. Again, it is the case of Jamie Shoup, who was a veteran. We'll be back on the other side of the break with more answers to your questions. Please don't touch that dial.
Every Christian strives to become more like Jesus Christ. But how does this transformation take place? The key to spiritual transformation is the practice of spiritual disciplines. The Spirit of the Disciplines by Dallas Willard is a must-read for every Christian who seeks to honor God in every area of their life. By practicing ancient, Christ-honoring disciplines, we begin to experience the core of Christian life and communion with Christ. To receive a copy of The Spirit of the Disciplines for yourself or as a terrific gift to a friend or loved one, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the life-changing ministries of the Christian Research Institute. That's 888-7000-CRI or visit online at equip.org. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back with more answers from the Bible Answer Man. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do. Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library and receive a complimentary subscription to CRI's award-winning Christian Research Journal, just two of the benefits of membership. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Once again, here is Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to Ronnie in Noble, Oklahoma, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Ronnie.
Hello, Hank. It's great to talk to you today. Love the show. I have a question. I was reading the story of David and Goliath yesterday and continued on reading a little bit farther. And it mentions that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul. Can you explain that to me?
Yeah, so the context, I think you're talking about 1 Samuel chapter 19, the context is that Saul is trying to destroy David. And instead of destroying David, Saul is humiliated in the presence of a genuine prophet. He's humiliated in the presence of Samuel. And this is by the power and province of the Holy Spirit. So what you have here is a divine act of intervention for David. God is protecting David, who is going to become the quintessential king of Israel. It's also a judgment on Saul. So the point here is, in the beginning, the Spirit comes upon Saul in order to minister through him, but on this occasion, the Spirit comes upon him to resist his evil intentions. Again, his evil intentions involve not only an intention to kill David with a spear, but also to thwart God's plans to make David the quintessential king of Israel. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Matt in Virginia, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Matt.
Hey, how you doing, Hank?
I'm doing well, thank you.
I was listening yesterday, and you were talking about how people can lose their salvation if they don't persevere to the end. And I was wondering, would you say that that person is an imposter, or is that something completely different in its entirety?
Well, there are some cases where you have imposters, and the quintessential example of that is Judas. Jesus saw through the facade with respect to Judas. He saw that Judas was a devil. He was an imposter. And that he was there not because he loved Jesus Christ, but he was there because he loved what Jesus Christ could do for him. In fact, when Jesus Christ did not fulfill his fantasies, he was willing to sell Jesus Christ for 30 pieces of silver. And that's why we say before we take communion, I will not give you a kiss as did Judas, but as the thief I confess to you, Lord, remember me in your kingdom. So the point here is that there are most certainly imposters. But this is a bit of an antinomy, because on the one hand, if you are a genuine believer, as I said yesterday, if you have been indwelt by the Holy Spirit, if you have been infilled by the power of the Holy Spirit through chrismation, you have started a journey with God, and that journey within the context of the church as a true believer is one of falling ever more deeply in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's one of falling ever more deeply in love with the people of God, and it is one in which you go from glory to glory with unveiled face, and therefore it is technically possible to walk away from your salvation, but it is also not a likely event if you are truly committed to Christ and to his church. If God is your father and the church is your mother, and if you are within the context of the church receiving the graces whereby you become by grace what God is by nature.
Thank you.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Karen in Detroit, Michigan, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Karen.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you. My question is, are we born with the Holy Spirit in us, or is it something where we have to invite him to be in us? And if we're not born with the Holy Spirit in us, how can we explain, like, how an egg and a sperm can have an energy to start the creation of life without a spirit in us.
How what now? What's the last part of your question?
The last part of the question is if we aren't born with God in us as the Holy Spirit, how can an egg and a sperm come together and have an energy to start life? Like, what would be the energy behind that if it's not like the Holy Spirit?
Well, God creates that possibility. In fact, that actuality, he created the world in such a way that when a sperm penetrates an egg, it creates life. And that life is the life of a person from the moment of conception to the moment that that person dies. And then that person continues on immortal, imperishable, incorruptible as a believer. But as to the first part of your question, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. So when you are born again, the Spirit indwells you. Your temple becomes the temple of the Holy Spirit. You then take up your cross. You daily follow the Lord within the context of his church. He is the head. You are part of the body. Now, when you are chrismated, as I mentioned earlier, you now receive the not only the indwelling, but the infilling of the Spirit. And I think that infilling is very, very significant in that Jesus said to his disciples, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. He's not suggesting that the Holy Spirit was not already working redemptively within his followers, but he was saying that the Spirit would manifest in the special empowerment of each believer to live the Christian life, not by might nor by power, including the power to proclaim the gospel in spirit and in truth. So while the indwelling of the Spirit happens at conversion, the infilling of the Spirit is something that happens thereafter on a continual basis. We are continually being infilled by the Spirit of God, empowered as such for service, so that what we do is not by might nor by power, but by his Spirit.
Okay, thank you.
You got it. Thank you so much for your question. You know, I want to follow up on the letter that I mentioned to you earlier on, because this letter is not an isolated situation. There are so many examples. I was reading another example of a person who lived as Laura for 8 years, but says, as I now know, transitioning doesn't fix the underlying ailments. I sought out the top gender specialist at the time, Dr. Paul Walker, who had co-authored the Standards of Care for Transgender Health. He diagnosed me with gender identity disorder, now it's called gender dysphoria, and recommended cross-sex hormones and sex change genital surgery. He told me that sex change was the only solution. I started taking female hormones and scheduled the surgery in Trinidad, Colorado. At the time, I was 42. My marriage ended shortly before surgery. In addition to genital reconfiguration, I had breast implants and other feminizing procedures and changed my birth certificate to Laura, a female. My childhood dream was realized and my life as a woman began. At first, I was giddy with excitement, but soon reality set in. The reprieve I experienced through surgery was only temporary. Hidden underneath the makeup, the female clothing, was a little boy hurt by childhood trauma. I became deeply suicidal. A gender specialist told me, I'll give it a little more time. But I was a mess emotionally. With grit and determination and the love and support of several families and counselors, I pursued healing on a psychological level. With expert guidance, I dared to resist the emotional trauma of my youth. It wasn't easy, but it was the only way to address the underlying conditions driving my gender dysphoria. I was 50 now when I had the breast implants removed. At age 55, I was finally set free from the desire to live as a woman and changed my legal documents back to Walt. I still have scars on my chest, reminders of the gender detour that cost me 13 years of my life. I'm now on a hormone regimen to try to regulate a system that is permanently altered. My regret is real. Had I not been misled by media stories of sex change success and by medical practitioners who said transitioning was the answer to my problems, I wouldn't have suffered as I have. Genetics simply can't be changed. Feelings, however, can and do change. You'll hear the media say regret is rare, but they're not reading my inbox, which is full of messages from transgender individuals who want the life and body back that was taken from them by cross-sex hormones, surgery, living under a new identity. After detransitioning, I know the truth. Hormones and surgery may alter appearances, but nothing changes the immutable facts of your sex. This is something you could have read about in the Bible. The problem is today we're turning on to fads as opposed to turning on to the Word of God. Out of time for this edition of the Bible Answers Men broadcast. We'll be back tomorrow with more.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answers Men broadcast. If you've been blessed by the broadcast and want more information to help you grow in the grace and knowledge of God, go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. To contact a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. Again, that's 888-7000-274. Or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org.